This Israel Report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
Good morning, Jonathan Feldstein. How are you?
Good morning, Kathy. Always good to be with you. How are you?
All right, thank you. We've been talking about a video that went viral about in one of our airports. Yeah, and interesting times. How do you feel about people calling out anti-Semitism when it's not actually anti-Semitism?
It's a great question. You'll actually like my referral reference to this. Years ago, I wrote an article called The 50 Shades of Anti-Semitism, borrowing from the other cultural 50 Shades of series. And in that article, I noted that there's more than just anti-Semitism where they want to shoot you, burn you, gas you, destroy your state. I've experienced that for most of my life too. Just on my last trip to the U.S., for instance, I was speaking in a church with a pastor who's very pro-Israel, and he made two really ridiculous anti-Semitic tropes that he didn't mean in a bad way. So I think it's important. The answer to your question is, I think it's important to call out anti-Semitism when it's there, and even culturally sensitive, so people don't do things like, I don't know if you're referring to a fellow South African who made a mock Nazi salute and then went on to make some other disparaging comments regarding the Holocaust. But I don't think we need to run around the world painting AS on everyone's front door with a red can of spray paint if we think that they might be anti-Semitic, but I think we need to have the conversation.
I'll tell you, once, it's so subjective. Years ago, I got an email from a listener who was weighing in on some topic that we were talking about. And the email address was ovens613@hotmail or Gmail or whatever. And when I saw that, and because of the comment from him, I just thought, I'm not dealing with this anti-Semite, right? Turns out it's like a really religious guy. He actually was an oven repairman, and his email address was oven613. So, you know, that's what are you going to do?
As they say, Baruch Hashem.
Right, exactly. So, you know, years and years of persecution have made us overly sensitive to this, right?
Well,
and,
you know,
and
it's
sometimes
funny,
it's
Kathy,
not anti-Semitism. I mean, we can't always call everything anti-Semitism. It's a boy cried wolf.
We can call things anti-Semitism, but we don't have to say that someone who's saying it is an anti-Semite in the classic sense that they hate us and want to destroy us. I was once with an older, that's going to sound funny the way I'm going to say it. I was once with an older woman at the Tel Aviv Hilton, a Holocaust survivor. And I think she was checking in, but she requested a room on the south side of the building. For anyone who's been to Tel Aviv, knows the Hilton, knows its location. It's toward the northern end of the city. And the reason why she requested a southern view was not because it was a better view, but because the northern view has a view of the smokestacks of the power plant that's to the north of Tel Aviv. And that triggered her. So there are many things that are legitimately anti-Semitic, and I'm aware of it, other cultures, other ethnicities, that I might think or say things that would be culturally or religiously insensitive, and I try to be careful. It doesn't mean we shouldn't call it out. So In the
No, we
case
should
of
call it
my
out when it's genuine, but we can't use the accusation of anti-Semitism
agreed.
when it isn't to bully your way onto an airplane. I disagree with that
100%.
100%.
Oh, this is the one in Kenya. Yeah, I
It
didn't
was
see
in
the
South
video, but I
Africa.
saw it going
It
around.
was Kenya Airlines, but in South Africa at OR Tambo. Yeah.
Now
Okay.
I'll have to watch the video.
Oh, gosh. Good luck. All right. Jonathan, can we just talk about United States sanctioning the ICC?
Thank God. Gee,
Yes.
I don't know if it has any teeth. I don't know if it will do very much, but you know me, listeners who've heard me a couple of times. I'm not perfect. I never am. Probably never will be, but I do strive for integrity. And something that begins with an I and has two CCs and stands for International Criminal Court, and we those of us in the world who aspire to true justice see a mockery of that in an institution that should be significant, to have the United States step up and do something. I only wish it didn't come across as the US standing up for Israel being bullied by the ICC. But as far as I'm concerned, if the ICC is like this and continues to be like this, it has no legitimacy and shouldn't even exist.
Yeah, it's interesting. There's so many connections that we aren't really aware of, right? So, we talk about the United Nations Secretary General, Antonio Guterres. He was very, very close to Yasser Arafat. Did you know that?
I did not know that,
Google photos. Go on
but
to,
good.
go and Google
I didn't
photos.
need to be sitting down for that one because it's
Yeah.
no shocker.
It's no shocker, but now there's context for why he makes the decision, says the things, and does what he does. Right? Can go and have a look. Just Google Yasser Arafat, Antonio Guterres, and all the photos of them. Like this was a bromance of note. So very interesting, very interesting. And it seems like it's all kind of being unveiled or coming to the fore now.
Which is great, but the, I can't remember the name of the movie. Great U.S. movie with a Soviet spy who gets arrested, and he keeps asking the question, "Well, will it make a difference?" That's fine that we know about Guterres and Yasser Arafat, but does it make a difference? He's still the head of the UN, and the UN, with or without him, is really sadly, and I mean it, a tremendously corrupt institution that has strayed so far from what it really ought to be doing.
Yeah, like its predecessor, Okay, can we discuss Trump's Gaza proposal? What are your thoughts of that?
Just publish an article on it. I'm a little bit entertained by people on the left and on the right who are at the same time hating Trump and certain things for one thing, but now spiking well, that's an American reference, spiking the ball in the end zone. I call it the diplomatic end zone over what they perceive and. I think what I think I hope that this is simply negotiating tactics. I hope that this will shake the rest of the world to think, maybe this guy's a lunatic, but the reality is we don't have a better solution, so we better come up with something. And I hope that this is a message specifically to the Saudis, as he did when he was trying to get the Abraham Accords off the ground by dangling the idea of sovereignty in Judea and Samaria, which caused the Emiratis and the Bahrainis and the Moroccans and maybe the Sudanese, I don't know, to come to the table and be part of an Abraham Accord that created an unprecedented peace. And that the Saudis, I'm actually writing an article which will come out soon. It's really long and one of my most thoughtful. About that, about the Saudis. I hope that that's what this is, because even though there is abundant historic precedence biblically for the migration of 2 million people, and in other parts of the world more recently as well. Not forced migration, but migration. I don't see it as a practical solution. But then again, I'm just dumb Jonathan sitting in a room in Israel. Maybe that would be reality. I don't see it.
Interesting. I wanted to ask you also, there was a terrible, a tragic accident with the crane.
Yeah.
What do you know about it? I haven't seen a lot. I haven't seen a lot about it in the media.
I nor have I, and the truth is, I only heard about it in my first meeting with a Christian leader here in Jerusalem yesterday. I didn't know about it, but what happened is there is construction going on. I mean, I know this firsthand from some people who are involved with it in Gaza, not constructing Jewish communities, but a military presence, defensive positions, which will probably be relatively long term. And we are now, I wish you could hear it, for the now 3 or 4 days, experiencing tremendously high winds, where I live especially, and in Jerusalem yesterday. And so apparently what happened is this construction crane was blown over, and killed two and injured six. And it's horrific news when any parent gets a knock on the door that their son has been killed in the army. I don't know if it's any better if they killed in combat, at least trying to take out terrorists, versus a construction accident. That sounds so third world, but that's what happened.
Yeah. How much do you know about this case with Ari Rosenfeld?
Nothing. I don't even know who Ariel Rosenfeld is, so educate me.
Okay. Well, then I'm not going to ask you about that. So he
Okay.
actually worked in the Prime Minister's office and he leaked a whole lot of documents. So he's been
Ah,
released
that
to
one.
house arrest, yeah. But I was just thinking about that and I was just thinking, on the one hand, you want to know, but on the other hand, it actually really compromises security. And in years gone by and decades gone by, there was, whatever you did, there was a sense of honor that you would never break, right? The
Well,
world has
I
changed.
don't know about his case, and now I'll read up on it on Shabbat. But the more famous name regarding to leaks, recent leaks from the Prime Minister's office, is by the name a guy named Elie Feldstein. Not related, as far as we know, but it's been quite novel to see headlines relating to the Feldstein law, Feldstein arrest, Feldstein this, Feldstein that. But I don't know the case about Ari Rosenfeld. If he's leaking because he wants to be a what's it called? Oh dear,
That's okay.
to leak for the public good, or if he's leaking stuff like Elie Feldstein's been
Yeah, like a
accused of
whistleblower.
for the prime minister's benefit.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll get to see what's about that. Hostages that are due to be released tomorrow, apparently three men. Do we know who they are?
Correct. I don't know who they are. It might come out in the media today, but I'm not sure the status. And you keep hearing rumors that that Shiri Bibas and Kfir and oh dear, I'm having a moment, on their other son will
Yes.
be released. But I think the conventional wisdom is that they're not alive, and that Yarden, who was released this past week, may have additional mourning to do, but we don't know what's the status with
Well,
any of
Al
it.
Jazeera was reporting that that their bodies are going to be released. I mean, but how seriously do we take Al Jazeera?
Well, or that it's not a mouthpiece for Hamas anyway, which is why they're kicked out of so many Arab countries, and it may just be part of the Hamas psychological terror that they continue to try to inflict. I hope in whatever capacity that they will their bo that they alive or their bodies will be released soon. We're supposed to be in the midst of negotiating a phase two. We need them all to be able to come home. We need Israel to be able to heal beyond that, and we need, if necessary, to go in and finish the job militarily,
Yeah.
even if that might handicap us.
And one last question. Palestinian Authority, Mahmoud Abbas saying earlier this week that the Palestinians or the Gazans can move over to Judea and Samaria, to the West Bank. not to Judea and Samaria, to the West Bank. So what's your thought about that?
Well, it's very interesting. First of all, he's irrelevant, and the Palestinian Authority is irrelevant. They're not irrelevant, but ineffective, and the people, the Palestinian Arabs themselves don't regard them as with significance. But what's also interesting about it, the same as Jordan, the same as Egypt, if they were to transport 100,000, half a million, a million, or a million and a half radicalized Gazans to Judea and Samaria, to the West Bank, they're going to have a much bigger problem keeping the authority of the Palestinian Authority, because they're all hardened Hamas supporters, and that will expedite the blowing up in the face of the demise of the Palestinian Authority and Hamas taking over the West Bank.
Okay. Jonathan, that is where we leave it today. And I wish you and your family Shabbat Shalom. And
Shabbat Shalom,
look
Kathy.
Forward to speaking to you. God bless. Take care. Bye-bye. It's about to go 8 o'clock. That was Jonathan Feldstein. And that was your Israel Report. Coming up in the next hour, we're going to be speaking to Julian Resnick. He's a journalist for the Cape Jewish Chronicle, talking about testimonies from the hostages. Will we see more? Stay with me.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.